All right, today we come to 2 Samuel chapter 2. We resume our study in verse number 11. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And it says, "And the time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months." So for 7.5 years, David reigned only over the southern portion of Israel. After that, God gave him the entire nation to rule over. You know, the Bible says, do not despise the day of small things. Jesus said, if you are faithful in little, you will be entrusted with more. If we care about the little things, God can trust us with bigger things. 12. And Abner, the son of Ner, and the servants of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, went out from Mahanaim to Gibeon. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and the servants of David went out and met together by the pool of Gibeon. And they sat down, the one on the one side of the pool and the other on the other side of the pool. And I would say that this is a recipe for trouble. You just know that some wise guy is going to smart off, and that's going to be it. It's been my experience that a lot of people get into fights because one loudmouth friend has to smart off. Verse 14. And Abner said to Joab, let the young men now arise and play or have a contest before us. And Joab said, let them arise. Abner's the guy. He started it. He issues a challenge. And of course, David's general isn't going to back down. He's not going to say no. 15. Then there arose and went over by number 12 of Benjamin, which pertained to Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and 12 of the servants of David. And these were not volunteers. They were chosen, and they had no choice. These men were the playthings, the pawns of these two army commanders. Abner and Joab say, well, let's each put 12 men out there and watch them go at it. 16, and they caught everyone his fellow by the head and thrust his sword in the fellow's side. So they fell down together. Wherefore, that place was called Helkath Hazurim, which is in Gibeon. It should have been called Field of 24 Stooges who had their lives completely wasted. I suppose the two leaders figured it would either be an all-out war or a scaled-down version between 24 chosen soldiers. They went with the scaled-down one, and it ended up a tie, 0-0. And that's not going to solve anything. Never does. Never would. Look at verse 17. And there was a very sore battle that day. See? There you go. And Abner was beaten. And the men of Israel before the servants of the men of, or I should say, before the servants of David. So the scaled down war did not work, and they ended up fighting a real war anyway. And when the dust cleared, David's side won the battle. 18. And there were three sons of Zeruiah there, Joab, and Abishai, and Ishiel. And Ishiel was as light of foot as a wild gazelle. Well, these three men were all loyal to David. They've actually been with him for years. And all three of them have more zeal than wisdom. And all three are quick to pull the trigger. Again, the last part of verse 18. And Ishiel, that's one of the three, was as light of foot as a wild roe. And Ishiel pursued after Abner, and in going he turned not to the right hand or to the left from following Abner. Eshiel is chasing the commander of the northern army, Abner. Eshiel could move like a deer. God blessed him with speed, with quickness, with agility, and he was using that all right here. 20. Then Abner looked behind him and said, "Are you Eshiel?" And he answered, "I am." And Abner said to him, "Turn you aside to your right hand or to your left, and lay you hold on one of the young men and take you his armor." But Eshiel would not turn aside from following him. Eshiel is gaining on Abner, and he will not quit. God gave him speed. But you know, his speed will prove to be his ruin because he's not using it to do the right thing. And a lot of people are like him. God blesses them with intelligence, physical ability, maybe musical talents, money-making talents, speaking ability, whatever. But they use those things in the wrong way. Instead of using them to glorify God, they use them to please self. And as a result, it does them no good. 22. And Abner said again to Eshiel, "Turn you aside from following me. Wherefore should I smite you to the ground? How then should I hold up my face to Joab your brother?" Abner deserves some credit. He could have taken Eshiel easy, but he doesn't want to. He could kill him. He could claim self-defense, and no one would blame him. Instead, he tries his best to avoid trouble. Verse 23. However, he refused to turn aside, wherefore Abner, with the hinder end of the spear, smote him under the fifth rib, that the spear came out behind him, and he fell down there and died in the same place. And it came to pass that as many as came to the place where Eshiel fell down and died stood still. Abner warned him, and he warned him again, but the guy did not listen, and therefore he paid with his life. God says that we should warn troublemakers in the church two or three times, and if they don't stop, then we are to stop them. Meaning, we're to do whatever we can, whatever needs to be done within the bounds of Scripture to put a stop to their evil influence. Verse 24. Joab also and Abishai pursued after Abner, and the sun went down when they were come to the hill of Ammah that lies before Gia by the way of the wilderness of Gibeon. Joab and Abishai want to settle the score after the death of their brother. And here's an error for us to avoid. Do not defend someone who is guilty simply because they are close to you or a friend or a family member. The Bible says God has no favorites, and we shouldn't either, as hard as that can be at times. The Bible says we are to make a righteous judgment. So they want to avenge the death of someone whose death was a righteous judgment against him. And it was their own or his own fault. You don't want to avenge that person's death. He had it coming. 25. And the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together after Abner and became one troop and stood on the top of a hill. Then Abner called to Joab and said, "Shall the sword devour forever? Know you not that it will be bitterness in the latter end? How long shall it be then before you bid the people return from following their brethren?" Abner yells out, "Let's stop all this fighting." Of course, Abner was the one who issued the original challenge, but now he wants to quit. He doesn't want to finish what he started. He can't finish what he started. And oftentimes, that's the way it is with wise guys. 27. And Joab said, "As God lives, unless you had spoken, surely then in the morning the people had gone up, everyone from following his brother. Ebner could not finish what he started, but he still did the right thing by calling for peace. Better to swallow your pride and stop doing something when you realize that it is wrong than to keep going and cause more trouble. Better to take your losses, swallow your pride, and get back on track. Verse 28. So Joab blew a trumpet, and all the people stood still, and pursued after Israel no more. Neither fought they any more. And Abner and his men walked all that night through the plain, and passed over Jordan, and went through all Bithron, and they came to Mahanaim. And Joab returned from following Abner. And when he had gathered all the people together, there lacked of David's servants 19 men and Asahel. But the servants of David had smitten of Benjamin and of Abner's men, so that 300 men died. Wow, what a blowout, huh? And they took up Asahel and buried him in the sepulchre of his father, which was in Bethlehem. And Joab and his men went all night, and they came to Hebron at break of day. So the final score was 360-20 in favor of David's side, a landslide by any definition. And we see that God was blessing David, but he was not blessing Ishbosheth. David was on God's side, so God was giving him the victory. But notice how David still lost 20 men. See, being on God's side does not mean you won't suffer loss. It'll mean you get the victory in the end, but there may be setbacks along the way. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. So God's blessings on David were progressive. Took a long time, but little by little, God's judgment grip was squeezing the life out of Ishbosheth. You know, the evidence of God's approval isn't always seen right away. The evidence of God's disapproval is not always seen right away either. And so it says, now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. God gave David the throne of Israel, but Saul's son wanted it for himself, so there was war. When two people are determined to have things their way, there's going to be trouble. And the answer is not to fight it out. The answer is to do what God wants, and for both parties to find their contentment in God. When two people are filled with the Holy Spirit and content in the Lord, there can be peace. Otherwise, you can forget it. And that's the only way there could be peace at this point between the armies of Saul, or Ishbosheth, and the armies of David. Both camps have to submit to the will of God, which is David is king, and leave it at that. Verse 2, and to David were sons born in Hebron, and his firstborn was Ammon, the Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and his second, Chileab of Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite, and the third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur, and the fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggith, and the fifth, Shephatah, the son of Abital, and the sixth, Ithream by Iglah, David's wife. These were born to David in Hebron. Now, there are six wives listed in these three verses. David did not seek God when he married all these women. If he had prayed, God probably would have said, not a good idea. Instead of having six or seven wives at once, David should have just, hit himself over the head with a hammer and save time, because the end result is going to be pretty much the same, as we will see.